Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oh, Brian, what have you done now?
Can you dig it?
This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Sitting in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome inside the Hall of Fame. I'm Booker T, six-time world champ, two-time Hall of Famer. Got my man Brad Gilmore here with me, guys. We're coming to you from ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and we got a big, big week upon us. Man, cannot wait to get this week kicked off. And what better way to get it kicked off than right here inside the Hall of Fame where you get your champagne wishes and caviar dreams. Bradley, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Book. This is Vegas week, baby. We're about to get out of here. We're going to get on a plane and go to Nevada, the lovely city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to the B1. I'm looking forward to the MGM. I'm looking forward to the fight night. I'm looking forward to the scenery. You know what
I'm
saying?
It's going to be going down, man. It's going down. It's going to be awesome. Javonte Tank Davis taking on King Ryan Garcia. Going down at the T-Mobile Arena, guys. That's Saturday, April 22nd. That's Saturday night. Don't be late. It's going to be good. I can't wait, man. I can't wait to get down there for Radio Row. Actually get a chance to talk to some of the fighters. Got a chance to talk to Ryan Garcia at WrestleMania on the kickoff show there for a second. And this guy seemed to be 100% ready. They say this guy's a prodigy, man. But the thing is, this fight is a little bit different than most as far as fighting at a catch weight, 136 pounds. And what's really intriguing about this 136-pound catch weight is that the rehydration clause in the contract that you cannot gain more than 10 pounds before the night of fight.
Okay, interesting. Well, here's my first question. When was the last time you weighed 136 pounds? It's had to be a long time ago.
Probably was in the sixth grade.
It's so crazy that these, like, you know, it's just the fight that they fight at.
But that's what's crazy, though, man. It used to be the big heavyweight fights that drew all the appeal and all the praise, you know, from the pundits and the public like you and I. But now guys like Ryan Garcia, guys like Javonte Tank Davis, you know, guys like Devin Haney, those guys, man, are putting the fans in the seats. Crawford, those guys are putting fans in seats, man. And the heavyweight division seemed like, since Mike Tyson, it's long past gone, man.
The heavyweights aren't like they used to be. I mean, I think the last big heavyweight fight that I can recall was the one that you and I were there for, which was Tyson, Fury, and Wilder, too. Actually, the third one, what I guess would have been the last one.
Just think about it. Those guys, popularity of Tyson, Fury, and Javonte, I mean, and Wilder, compared to, you know, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
Man, that's leaps and bounds. Let me tell you something. I was at Radio Row for the Super Bowl here in Houston. All right? And
oh, I think Booker may have froze on us. He will join us here momentarily. We're talking about, of course, the big fight that's going down at the MGM Grand this weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada. Book, I don't know. Is it Book or is it me? Somebody in the chat, tell us who's frozen. I think it's Book, but it could be me. We'll find out here momentarily. Talking about the big fight going down at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada this weekend that we are both so excited to get
I'm back. Was that me? Or
I think it's you this time. It's you this time. And you're still a little frozen on us. It was you this time. There you go. There you go. You're back. You're back. You're back.
I don't know, man. I'm 100%, you know, as far as everything on my end. But what was that, man? What was
Glitch in the Matrix. You were saying that you were on Radio Row for the Super Bowl when it was in Houston. And that's where you cut off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And like I said, Deontay Wilder, he walked through. Nobody said a word. And I said, man, can you imagine if Muhammad Ali walked through this Radio Row? How many people would be going crazy? You know what I mean? I'm talking about workers. I'm talking about all the media. You know what I mean? Everybody, everybody would have been going nuts because the champ was here. The champ was here, you know, but that's the difference. And I think Javante Tank Davis walked through. You're going to turn your head, going to turn. Hey, man, that's Tank. You know what I mean? I got to get a photo. It's like that with these guys, man.
It definitely is. And the fight hype between this one behind this one seems like a very real one. You were talking about you were seeing things how what Ryan Garcia was using God in his fight promo or something.
I mean, you know, he said, you know, when everybody's in the room and all the noise around him, for him is silent, you know, because he's talking to God. Mm. You know, and when he, you know, after that, you know, when he get to the ring, he see everything coming. This everything is so clear, you know. So it's this dude. He's looking for a higher power to help him get through this fight come Saturday night. But I tell you, you got to have faith. You know, when you walking inside, you know, that square circle. I was just watching Diego Corrales versus Floyd Mayweather from back in the day, and you know, Corrales went down like 5 times in the fight. And one time he got up, and before he went back into the action, he did the cross sign and went right back in. Like, God help me with this action, man. Because this boy is dealing some fire. You know what I mean? But I get it. I totally understand. You got to have faith when you're walking into that type of situation.
And, you know, light shine brightly no matter when you're in a big fight. But there's something about a Las Vegas fight that's different. I don't know how you can quantify that to people. Like, Book, for people who haven't seen a Vegas fight in person before, how can you describe the atmosphere?
You know, it's really, really hard, man, because it's different. It's different than anything I've been a part of. Of course, I've been a part of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Don't get any bigger than that. You know, but from this perspective, the electricity is different. The culmination of two men getting in the middle of that square circle, and you know that something really could happen from a real serious perspective, but you do know that this is a gladiator sport, and you know you are honored to witness it. It's one of those type of deals, man. You know, it is the most electrifying and the most exciting part of, you know, my 58-year existence on this earth, being able to go and watch two men, you know, two pugilists, you know, go toe-to-toe inside that square circle. It's magical.
It's going to be something, man. It's going to be something. It's going to be on Showtime pay-per-view this Saturday night, live from the T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada. And Book, can you believe it's been over 3 years since we did one of these Vegas trips? 3 years.
Oh, man, it doesn't seem like that long, but then again, it does. You know, it seemed like a minute, you know, since we've been out of the game. But I'm so glad, man. Thank my girl Tracy for making it all happen. But I'm so glad to get back out to Vegas and just get back in that environment. You know what I'm saying? I say, Radio Row is going to be the beginning, starting on Thursday as well as Friday. And then I get a chance to hang out with my boy, Peter Rosenberg.
He's Petey boy.
Petey! Going to be in the house. But to just get a chance to get back inside the arena and watch the spectacle that we oh so love so much, which is pugilism, the game of boxing. It's going to be wonderful. And like I say, it's going down April 22nd, a Saturday night at the T-Mobile Arena. That's that boy, Javante Tank Davis versus King. I like that name too. King Ryan Garcia. Somebody's O must go in this one right here, guys. Two undefeated fighters. Someone's O must go. We got to take a break. Stick around. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
You ain't gotta be the only one, we could be too. I see you over there.
You're listening to the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore. You could be my island mommy,
whisked away, married for day. Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, guys. Staying on the subject of boxing. John Morris. John Morrison, I wouldn't even call him warm.
It's not John Morrison, Book. You know who we saw over the weekend?
Eddie Mundo.
No.
Sally Boxing.
We saw Johnny Knockout. Johnny Knockout was in the building.
Formerly John Morrison, formerly Johnny Impact.
Johnny Rowe.
Johnny Rowe. Johnny, when he was in Japan, what was he called?
I don't know.
Johnny Uno. Oh, whatever.
Why man, would it be Uno? That's Spanish. What was he, Johnny Dose?
Johnny
in China?
Johnny Itchy Butt. Johnny Itchy Butt. That's what I was trying to say. Not Johnny Ono. That's Sonny Ono.
Sonny Ono. There we go.
But he made his debut at the Creator Clash 2 down in Tampa, Florida over the weekend. He got a third round KO over, I don't know who he was fighting against, but the guy looked like he just woke up and put a pair of boxing gloves on and jumped in the ring and said, let's go. But he made his debut. He got a win. I don't know if John Morrison is making the transition or trying to make the transition into boxing, or if he's trying to make the transition into the, what do you call these guys? Social media guys?
Content creators, the influencers.
The creator, you know, world. If you're trying to, you know, get off into that, you know, and that right there, that's lucrative. That's very, very lucrative. It's worked out for a lot of guys. You know, the Paul brothers definitely have perfected that game. So what do you think it is? John Morrison trying to make a play, or is it something that he's just, you know, doodling?
Look, I don't think he's trying to get into boxing. I think that, look, you know, you're a worker, man. And if a worker sees a way to get a quick come up, a couple ducats, you know what I mean? You might as well try to go ahead and do it. He called out KSI after the fight, which, you know, would definitely make him some money. I don't think that he would love that encounter for himself. KSI's got some boxing skills behind him, and he's not like a Paul brother.
Well, I wouldn't say he got any boxing skills behind him, but he looked like he could fight a little bit.
Yeah, he could fight a little bit. And he's had some boxing matches, more than Johnny Knockout has. But my point is, if John Morrison's trying to get some money, that's a money fight for him. I heard, you know who his original opponent was supposed to be? At least this is what was reported.
Yeah, I heard that too.
It was supposed to be Matt Cardona.
Yeah, Matt Cardona said, man, I ain't got time for that. I ain't finna go get beat up for, what, $5,000? You know, I can't imagine those guys got paid no more than $3,000 to $5,000, if that.
Let's see if we can find payouts. I'll see if they have those public.
You're not going to find that. That's not the UFC or anything like that. Those guys got paid under the table in $1 bills. I'm just playing. I know somebody's going to report that. But no, man, I can't imagine those guys got paid more than $3,000 to $5,000 for that fight. And to go out and do something like that. You know what they say about boxing? You know the saying that they say, right?
What's that?
Boxing ain't playing. Ain't no game. It ain't no game. Boxing ain't no game. You know, it's real. Boxing is real, man. One shot to the head, boom. You know, no matter, you know, even if it's John Morrison throwing a shot, you can get hurt. It's just that simple.
Well, John Hennigan, which is his shoot name, as they say, knocked out Harley Mortensen at the fight. And you know what he said after he won? You know what his first line was of his promo after he won?
What?
And you know, Blitz. What up, Breland? And you know Blitz.
Real Blitz. It still got you on that one.
Oh, that's the best thing ever. My gosh. I don't know. You know what? John Morrison, though, I will say, he's a very athletic individual. You know, I don't know about his hands. I mean, obviously he showed that he's got something going on for himself. But he's an athlete. Remember all that parkour stuff that he does? That stuff ain't easy. People trying to call me. That ain't easy, you know, to do. So I think, you know, he's got some athletic ability. It's, you know what? If he tries to go forward in the boxing game, he needs to take the Jake Paul playbook and only fight guys who are much older than him that he can beat up. You know what? We could book the next Creator Clash 3, John Hennigan versus Bart Gunn.
Well, you know what
I mean? let's do it right now.
Wait a minute. How old is Hennigan? Hennigan got to be, what, 38?
40? Maybe 40. I don't know.
So what are you talking about booking guys older than him?
Than him. How old's Bart Gunn? How old's Bart Gunn? You know what I mean? I'm 60, trying to.
60.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. That age range. Let's get the job done. John Morrison's 43.
Hey, man. You know, I don't know, man. You know, as you get older, you just start losing your damn mind. That's the only way I can look at this whole thing. I'm serious. You know, it sucks getting old. I heard Arn Anderson say that a long time ago. He's like, man, getting old sucks. And I'm like, I really didn't know what he meant. You know, but you get older, man, you start losing your damn mind. Look at Rudy Giuliani. You know what I mean? He was loved all over America. Now the guy just freaking lost his damn mind. You know, I'm serious. It's people like that, you know, and you wonder. And I wonder myself. I check myself every day. I make sure I, you know, do work games and whatnot just to try to stay sharp. But this thing, man, getting old, it sucks, man. Seriously, when I see people, you know, wanting to try to still recreate that youth, you know, and go out there and do stuff like that. You know, I say, this is what I say to young people. This is what I say to young people. Start working on your exit strategy, you know, when you're young, you know what I mean? When you are in your, when you got your youth, you know, when you're making your maximum amount of bread, that's when you need to start thinking about your exit strategy. I remember back in early 2000s when I was, you know, before the King Booker run and all that stuff, you know, built my school. And I said, man, I'm going to build something because I got to think about my exit strategy. This is not going to last forever, you know? So, and the thing is, I don't want it to last forever. I don't want to be, you know, some old guy in the ring taking bumps. That's just me personally. Okay. So I started thinking about my exit strategy. So I started thinking about radio many, many years ago. I started thinking about radio. AM radio. I didn't care. I just get my foot in the door. You know, like I say, the school, appearances, speaking engagements. You need to start thinking about that because time, I say it all the time, man, it waits for no man. The sand in the hourglass is running out. The clock is ticking daily. So you need to start thinking about your exit strategy, you know, when you're young and making your maximum amount of dough.
I mean, that's definitely great advice. I remember, you know, the old phrase of it's not what you earn, it's what you save, right? Yeah, figuring out what you're going to do after this. But Matt, think about though, pro wrestlers, as far as professional athletes go, I'd say on average have a bit of a longer lifespan than, say, like a football, well, definitely than a football player. Football players got a few good years. Pro wrestlers have a little bit longer, and I'm not going to say John Morrison's long in the tooth. I mean, he's 43. Well, I mean, when you were doing King Booker, I mean, that's, you're around that age, right?
Like I said, 45 was my number.
That was your number.
I said, you know, man, and the reason why I say that is because it's a young man's game. It's really hard to be 45, 50 years old trying to keep up with some 20-year-old kid in the ring. It's just, it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. Let's just say for me, it didn't feel right. So I said, man, let me find a side job to where I can still work around these guys and still be a part of something that I love so much, which is this game. And I got so much still to give, but just in different departments, in different areas. Let me do that. And more importantly, let me be content with that, opposed to thinking that, you know, the times, you know, have rolled back and, you know, we're back in 1998 again. That's not going to happen. You know what I mean? My body's not going to let that happen. So when I see older guys in wrestling still trying to hold on, I'm not talking about the older guys like a Chris Jericho, who company is paying him to be the head of that company and they're going to pay him a whole lot of money. I'm talking about guys that just in the business that just want to take bumps on the weekend because they still love this business so much. It's nothing in that. It's not worth it for your body's sake to actually, you know, continue to do something like that. That's just my opinion.
No, I mean, I definitely feel where you're coming from. We've all, as wrestling fans, seen guys who are a little bit past when they should be out there in their boots and trunks and seen some real sad YouTube videos. So you definitely plan your exit strategy. If you take nothing from this conversation, plan the exit strategy and John Hennigan, Bart Gunn, let's book it now. Let's get the money. Let's get the payday. Come on, man. Brawl for all two.
Bart at home probably relaxed. He probably don't want no parts of that. That's dead, bro. It was dead when it was over. Hey guys, stick around. You're in the Hall of Fame.
It was dead when it was over.
ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, guys. Just talking a little wrestling, talking a little boxing, talking about a little bit of whatever you guys want to talk about. But one thing, since we're on the conversation, Tommy Dreamer, he just led his team to victory at Impact Rebellion over Team Bully Ray. But after he made a speech that he wanted to take some time away from professional wrestling, deal with personal issues, family, whatnot. Tommy Dreamer is another guy, the innovator of violence, 52 years old. Been out there in the trenches for a long time, a guy that loved this business. And I say, you know, take some time away from it. That's one thing. But, you know, what do you come back to?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is the question. And that's the thing. 52 years old. How long can you do this? How long do you want to push your body? And the thing is, I get it, man. I know once you get this wrestling bug, if you ever watch the movie The Wrestler, it's real, dog. It's as real. That is truly the way a lot of these guys feel about this business. Tommy also said that he want to go inside the WWE Hall of Fame next year. He's calling the shot next year. Is a Hall of Fame? What are we going to be next year?
Philadelphia.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Put me in. What do you think about Tommy Dreamer taking some time off, as well as Tommy saying, hey, man, I want in next year?
You know, until I just made the connection that it was going to be in Philadelphia, I was like, oh, I don't know why he's saying I got to be in it next year. Could Tommy Dreamer be in the Hall of Fame? You can certainly make a case for him. I'm sure that Philadelphia class is going to have an ECW face or two. And this is no knock to Tommy Dreamer. My recommendation, my personal pick for next year's Hall of Fame is Paul Heyman. I think it's time. I think it's past time.
You know what? I don't know, man. I mean, of course, Paul's a Hall of Famer, but I just don't think that's the one thing on Paul Heyman's list right now.
Well, here's my question, though. Once this Roman angle ends, eventually we know it will, right? It's not going to go on forever. So eventually it will. I'm thinking there's a high likelihood that it'll end before the next WrestleMania. Maybe I'm wrong. but say it does, what else can Paul do? You know what I mean? This is the one of the biggest runs of his career, and he's at the tail end of it. He's got to be, just, you know, based upon the time clock. Man, yeah, that would be a hell of a way to walk out from this biggest angle of your career into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, why walk away right now? I mean, why should Paul Heyman walk away right now? There's no real reason why.
Well, I'm not saying right now.
And the thing is, there are more stars to be built, I think, in WWE. I think there are someone out there that Paul Heyman could be the catalyst to get that guy over the top to become even a bigger star than one could ever imagine. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So I just don't see, you know, any reason, you know why Paul Heyman would, you know, want that right now, even though if he got it, it would be great. But I just think Paul got so much left to give. And I just don't think that's the one thing that's high on his radar right now. And I think if you ask Paul Heyman if that was something high on his radar right now at this point, I think that guy, man, still got so much work still left to be done.
And you might be right. But to go to the Tommy Dreamer of it, and this, again, this isn't a knock to Tommy or anything. I think that's a call that's made, not something you call for. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I feel like the Hall of Fame calls you. And I mean that over all sports, not just professional wrestling. Yeah, sure. Hall of Fame calls you. When you start campaigning a little bit, it's like, it's almost like you feel like you don't deserve it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I don't deserve it, so I got to campaign for it. And I'm not saying that's what he's doing, but that's just kind of the feeling that I get. Could you make a case that Tommy Dreamer is a Hall of Famer? Yeah, you can make that case. Absolutely. Absolutely.
No doubt.
And I think that with Philadelphia being around, the Dudleys are already in. I'm trying to think of the big ECW names. The Dudleys are already in. We've knocked Heyman off the list of contention. And when I think of that ECW run, there's only three other guys that come to my head, and that's Taz, who's with AEW right now, Raven, who I feel like is a Hall of Famer, and then Dreamer.
What about Sandman?
I don't know if Sandman's a Hall of Famer. I love Sandman. I love Sandman. But, I don't know if Sandman's a Hall of Famer. I could be wrong on that. I could be wrong. It's all up to, like, personal opinion. There's some people who are surefire Hall of Famers. There's some that's like, oh, maybe you can make a case for that guy or girl, you know. I don't know if Sandman is one, though. Sabu?
Sabu. Sabu. Definitely. You know what? So many guys, man, that definitely deserve to be in the Hall of Fame that put so much work in.
Well, what are your qualifiers? Because I feel like sometimes with the Hall of Fame, we're like, oh, you've been around for a minute. But what are your qualifiers?
I go by body of work, overall, star power. And when I think about a guy like Sabu, just say for instance, Sabu, you knew who Sabu, well, you had heard the name Sabu perhaps way before you ever saw him.
And that is 100% true.
And I say, when your name get there before you do, you own to something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I look at it, you know, in that way right there, as far as, you know, how much blood, you know, Sabu has spilt for this business alone makes him a qualifier, you know, for the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? It's so many different qualifiers just because everybody in the Hall of Fame aren't workers,
right?
Aren't actually wrestlers, you know. And I get that too. You know, you got to look at, you know, certain people from different, just like, say, for instance, Charmelle. You know, she never took a bump really, you know, from that perspective. But, you know, she got the call just for her body of work in, you know, her area. You know,
Tim White, right?
Tim White. You know, I mean, there again, you know. So I don't know, but is Tommy Dreamer a Hall of Famer? I think so. I really do. One thing I do want to touch on. I heard Steve Kern. He went by Skinner in the WWF back in the day.
I remember.
And I was reading a comment that he made, and he said that he really don't give any weight at all to the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, it really means nothing because this is not a real business, you know, as far as a real sport. And my comeback to that is, and I'm good friends with Steve Kern. We're really good friends. My comeback to that is, you know, we should all know that what this business is. It's entertainment. It's the ultimate form of entertainment. But when somebody just say, for instance, one of those great actors get that Emmy, you know, or that Academy Award, you know, that's what that is. It's that chance to come on the stage and say, man, I thank you guys, you know, for, you know, putting me in this position. I really appreciate the ride, you know, for me, you know, the signs of all of the fans, you know, everybody raising the roof from back. It was so important for me to thank those fans for this awesome 32-year ride that I've had. If I didn't get a chance to do that, man, I would have felt like I was missing something. You know what I mean? So for me to get that chance to go on stage and thank those fans, I think that's what the Hall of Fame truly is really all about.
Well, I didn't see Steve Kern's comments. I will say I'm a Steve Kern fan. I was a big Skinner guy. I was such a Skinner fan. It was actually one of the few action figures I bought as a kid on the internet. I was like, I got to get a Skinner action figure. I thought he was so cool. But I will say this to his comment, in your paraphrasing of it. Steve Kern would have a different opinion if Skinner was in the Hall of Fame.
I think so. You know, I mean, that's all that comes down to. Or if he just had a chance to go on the stage and thank those fans.
Yeah.
For that ride, he would realize how powerful it really, really is. I'm serious. You know what I mean? For me, that was a moment that I will remember for the rest of my life, being able to thank my wife, you know what I mean? For all the, you know, times, you know what I mean? All the struggles, sleeping in a car at the airport with me, you know what I mean? You know, giving me two awesome kids, you know what I mean? Like I said, to be able to thank the fans as well as the company for putting me in this position. It's been a lot of people that have put me where I'm at right now. I didn't do this all on my own. And to have that chance to thank Bruce Kasarch, the guy who, you know, gave me that tuition to go to wrestling school, helped me buy my first car. Man, you don't think I got goosebumps just thinking about that right there. So, no, man, I think you're right. If he had a chance to just step on that stage one time, and that's another guy, you know, do we have a case to be in the Hall of Fame? Steve Kern, man, that dude did so much, played so many characters. It ain't even funny.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he deserved to be in. And so hopefully, you know, he'll get a chance to one day, and you know, those thoughts will change.
Well, yeah, and for me as a wrestling fan, I will say the Hall of Fame holds weight in my eyes. Like when I see the guys go in, even as a fan, you're like, yes, they deserve to have this moment of recognition for what they did for our entertainment.
Just think about this one second. Can you imagine if the Warrior didn't get a chance to thank the fans?
I know.
Just that one last time.
I know.
And get a chance to mend all those fences.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if the Warrior wouldn't have never got a chance to do that? Stick around, guys. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
I just wanna free fall like the rain.
You're listening to the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Back inside the Hall of Fame, guys. We just chopping it up. Just chopping it up. Talking about a little bit of everything inside of sports and entertainment, guys. Don't miss that big fight going down this weekend. Javonte Tank Davis taking on Ryan Garcia, going down at the T-Mobile Arena, guys. It's going to be good. It's going to be real good. Don't miss out. Don't get shut out. And, man, I cannot wait, man. Cannot wait.
It's going to be incredible. I mean, was there anything, Book, from the headlines of the world of wrestling that you wanted to address before we throw it over to our lovely super chatters who have sent in so many questions already? Want to make sure that if you want to have your question heard or a comment read, super chat it in, and we will talk about it here on the show. Was there anything else from the wrestling headlines that you wanted to make sure that we...
One other thing, Bret Hart saying wrestling is going in a bad direction.
I have the I read the quote. I have the quote here if we want to read it for a context.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
or this Bret Hart said, when I think of WWE, for example, and I see 20 wrestlers crowd together outside on the floor of the ring, and some guy runs over and dives over the top rope and knocks them all down like bowling pins, I really roll my eyes at how pathetic wrestling is today. From top to bottom, all the wrestlers, all the middle and bottom wrestlers in the WWE and AEW, all slapping on their leg on every punch, every slap. It's gotten to the point where I can't watch wrestling today. Sadly, it's getting too phony. I really have to question the direction that the people are in charge. He goes on to say, AEW has kind of gone in a bad direction as well. I think with all the violence and gore, I watched some episodes. You know, I watched Martha Hart do her big press conference for AEW here in Calgary. I'm watching AEW and I'm watching who used to be Dean Ambrose sticking a fork in somebody's head for 5 minutes with a close-up on TV. This isn't wrestling either. I would recommend turning that off. I don't watch that stuff anymore. It's not very good. Wrestling is going some bad directions because people don't know what wrestling is or what wrestling was. That's the Hall of Famer Bret the Hitman Hart's comments on wrestling today. They got a lot of attention.
You know, I agree with a lot of those factors, man. You know, I agree with a whole lot of what Bret said right there, you know, as far as, and the thing is, when you see it on a regular basis, that's when, you know, it become, you know, you like desensitized, you know, oh, it's no problem, man. I mean, it's just wrestling. You know, and when you start doing that, that's when you start messing with my money. That's what Bret's talking about, man. You're messing with something that I love, something that I helped build. That's what Bret's talking about. And what I always thought the business was to go out there and simulate, you know, a real fight, you know, and try to make it as close as you possibly can. And my thing is, I was just talking about it not too long ago as far as the leg slap. And I've said that I've slapped something in every one of my matches, okay? But the fans didn't see it. The fans didn't know it. You know, when guys communicated back in the day, the fans didn't see it. The fans didn't know it. They was trying. They were wondering, how do these guys pull this off without us seeing exactly what's happening here? You know, how can they make this look so real? You know, opposed to somebody, you know, somebody getting shot off the ropes and then the guy come off, you pat him on the back, he runs to the other side just to take a hip toss to reverse it and go. I love Cirque du Soleil. Every time I go to Vegas, you know, in a couple of days, I might even stop by. I know they got a new show just came out. I might stop by and check it out. I love Cirque du Soleil. I used to be a dancer to where everything had to be in sync. Everything had to be done in unison. You know what I mean? Timing was everything. And if somebody was off time, it didn't look right. You know what I mean? That's just the way it was. I get that. But when wrestling, every aspect of it look like it's on time, it's a problem, because there's not going to be a fight to where things look like it's going to be on time in a real fight. It's never going to be like that. It's always going to be a raw effect. It's always going to be a grittiness in a fight. But with wrestling, I understand it's to be embellished. So we have to make things look a certain way. I get that. I understand that. But still, the core of it is trying to suspend the disbelief of the fan that's watching it to make them go, man, I like this stuff. This is good. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm thinking about when performing. Because I know it's a performance. You know it's a performance. Just like when you go and watch a movie. You know when you watch a good movie. You know when you watch a bad movie. Mm-hmm. This is similar.
It's very similar. You know, I will say, from a fan's perspective, I agree with a lot of what Bret says. Mainly because, you know, I grew up on a different style of wrestling. I grew up on watching you. And man, I'll tell you what. Mick Foley, I want to give him some props. Whenever Mick Foley would come out to wrestle, it wouldn't always look pretty. It wouldn't always look clean. It wasn't always on time. But I 1,000% believed everything that he was doing. There was never a moment where I questioned it. And I'm talking about if he was Cactus Jack, Mankind, Dude Love, or Mick Foley. I believed it 1,000% of the time. I never saw a leg slap, but I did see him pull his own hair out of his head. You know what I mean? Like, this guy was 100% in my mind. Undertaker, Kane, Austin, You know, even
but
rock.
I tell you right now, if you ask Mick Foley, have you ever slapped something when you hit someone? He's gonna say yeah, because I can tell you right now, I'm sure he did. I'm 100% sure he did. But Mick did it where the fans didn't see it. That's the art of the game. You know, the hand is quicker than the eye, and that's why I challenge these young guys, man, to really go out and think about your craft, think about your work, because you know this business is gonna be what you guys leave it. Hey. I've done my time. I've served my time. My generation, you know, left the business pretty, you know, well intact. As far as people saying, man, I love this stuff, man. I want to buy into it. To keep it, it's going to be all up to these young guys. That's why I say, understand your work as far as what does it take to make it to the top of the card? The Roman Reigns status. You know, what is it going to take? Whether you at the top of the card or whether you working with the guy at the top of the card, one of the two, you know, but it takes a certain something to actually get to that point. Case in point, I watched Cody Rhodes the way he worked in AEW and I watched the way he worked in WWE. Two totally different guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely a whole different work style, right? Isn't that interesting? To go back to Brett's point about some of the violence, I guess, of AEW, like with the fork thing, I will say with Jon Moxley, who I am a fan of, and I think that that company, AEW, is better for having Jon Moxley than not having Jon Moxley, right? I think that he definitely takes him up another level, and he's been a standard bearer for them for a long time. You know, to your point, when you see something all the time, it's not special anymore. And when Jon Moxley's gotten this online reputation, and he's gotten a well-earned reputation. He bleeds in every match, right? And this is not me knocking. This is true. He bleeds in every match. And when you see somebody bleed every time they're working, especially 90 seconds in, it doesn't have the same effect. But I remember watching whenever Shawn Michaels would bleed, when I'd see him start to bleed, that was when I brought into the drama, right? I was brought into it because it was knowing the right time to go to that. Let's not just have blood to have blood. Let's not just do a dive to the outside to do a dive to the outside to get a quick ooh and ah. It was, where does this make sense within the context of the story in which we are trying to tell and bring people into, right? And there had to be something that built up to that to pay it off. I go to use your example of movies, you go to the Avengers Endgame. The last line Robert Downey Jr. says, he looks at Thanos and he says, I am Iron Man. And he snaps his fingers, right? If they started the movie with that, that scene would not be impactful. But because it came at the point of the story in which it did, I remember sitting in the theater. There were men crying when Robert Downey Jr. said, I am Iron Man. Because they worked to that spot. They worked to the finish. And they paid it off because we were emotionally invested.
You know, the thing with Jon Moxley, if everybody on the roster did it all the time, you know, maybe Jon Moxley's trying to create something. Maybe he's trying to be that Terry Funk of this era. Maybe he wants to go down and leave that as his legacy, being that guy that was.
I mean, perhaps.
It's
not for me, but yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe that's not for you, but
yeah.
Maybe a lot of people do like it. Maybe a lot of people like it. Maybe that's his niche.
Yeah.
And like I say, if everybody on the card did it, it would definitely be something that that concerned me. But just being Jon Moxley, to Jon Moxley's credit, he might be thinking, well, I'm getting hit in the head every night. Why wouldn't I bleed?
Perhaps.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you see some guys, just say for instance, which irks the crap out of me too, take 10 punches to the face and he doesn't have a busted lip or a bruised eye or a scratch.
So you're saying maybe he's trying to get it from like the MMA approach. Like the MMA guys, if they're in a fight, they're going to bleed most of the time.
Exactly my point. How many times have you seen a guy get hit in the face 10 times and he doesn't have a scratch on him?
It doesn't happen a lot.
Does that not bother you a little bit?
Sure. Sure, but I guess that's part of the theater of it, right?
No,
I know if I throw a guy against the ropes, he's not going to bounce back to me.
That's the embellishment.
That's the embellishment, wrestling. Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is I would go out of my way to not hit a guy with my fist no more than one or two times in a match. You know why?
That's what you're saying.
Because what's on the marquee?
Wrestling.
Boom. We got to take a break, guys. Stick around. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.